Fangoria Presents The Narrow Caves is brought to you by Shudder. Shudder is the Netflix for horror, where you can stream great thrillers, horror, and suspense for $4.99 a month or just $49.99 for the entire year. I watched a few Stephen King movies on Shudder this weekend, including Pet Sematary, Cujo, and Salem's Lot. I'm also pretty excited to watch some Alfred Hitchcock films that I haven't seen. They have all types of movies and series, from the classics to modern favorites, and even some originals too, like A Discovery of Witches that hit Shudder on January 17th. And they add new shows and films weekly. To try Shudder for free for 30 days, go to Shudder.com and use promo code CAVES. That's Shudder.com. Promo code CAVES. That's Shudder.com. Promo code CAVES. The following contains explicit content. Listener discretion is advised. Previously on The Narrow Caves.
Ruby, what was...
My mother was here. She crawled out of there. She told me about my ancestors.
They made her eat this weird fruit. But afterwards, she started to change. Why'd they let me live?
Why were you so compelled to pursue Ruby? How did you survive 15 days without any food?
Your daughter's dying, or dead, because of your secrets, you lying asshole.
The flashlight beam stabs into the dark as Walter rounds the corner. Ahead of him stand three tunnels. A wind whistles almost musically from the left path, and for reasons that he does not fully comprehend, he walks toward this entrance.
The Narrow Caves. Written by S. Craig Zahler. Directed by Keith Reynolds. Starring Wyatt Russell, Lily Simmons, Vincent D'Onofrio, and Will Patton as the narrator.
Chapter 8.
Flashlight upheld, Walter ambles into the tunnel. The luminous beam does not extend to the end of the declining passage. Into darkness hastens the injured young man. 50 feet ahead, and in the crenulate ceiling of the declining tunnel, is another burrow hole. Walter runs forward as fast as possible, hoping that he can get past this opening before another enemy arrives. Something glints and clicks within the burrow hole. The lanky fellow ducks down low as he reaches the opening. His flashlight glimmers upon black eyes, and a moment later he passes beyond the hole. Something thuds on the ground behind the fleeing fellow.
Shit!
Running in socked feet, the lanky fellow continues down the slope. Ahead of him and on the ground, he sees something that glimmers. The upcoming light sparkles more brightly, and soon Walter understands that this upcoming anomaly is water. Gasping, the lanky fellow runs down the tunnel. A pincer snags his right ankle and pulls. Unbalanced, he falls forward and flops on his chest. The flashlight flies out of his hand and rolls downhill. The tunnel darkens as Walter kicks and kicks and kicks his left foot at the crawler. Abruptly, the pincer releases his other ankle. The rolling flashlight smacks the wall of the tunnel as the lanky fellow clambers to his feet. Shouting in pain, he wobbles, slams his shoulders against the wall, and pulls two large pieces of purplish-black shell from his bloodied sock. Walter seizes the flashlight and continues forward as quickly as possible. The beam illuminates the water, which is an underground river. Appendages click as the stunned crawler revives itself. These sounds soon grow louder. At the edge of the underground river, the lanky fellow jumps. For a moment, the terrorized and weak young man gives himself over to the current. His body is borne around a bend, down a narrow stretch of rushing rapids, and into a wider and far calmer body of water. The speed of his progress slows, and he takes a deep, calming breath. From the water, he raises his left hand, clamped to his index finger by one overlong forelimb is a gray crab that has a single purplish-black humanoid eye in the center of its carapace. The lanky fella cracks off the crustacean's pincer and throws the limb and the wriggling body into the darkness. This jettisoned amputee splashes. Again, Walter grunts as something assaults him underwater. His gaze turns to the nearest shore and he swims there as quickly as possible. Pebbles rattle as Walter crawls onto the underground shore, flinches, and grunts. The flashlight drops from his grasp. Yelling, he clamps his hands to his groin. The lanky fellow stabs his right hand into his shorts, grits his teeth, and pulls. At present, he withdraws the hind part of another one-eyed crab, the overlong pincer of which remains clamped to his genitals.
Let go!
Walter cracks the forelimb from the body, reaches into his shorts, and withdraws the amputated pincer. The lanky fella sets the wriggling crab onto the ground, raises his flashlight, and brings the handle down. Metal impacts the shell, which crunches. Black jelly squirts.
Goddamn venereal disease.
The lanky fellow claims the flashlight and shines the beam into his filthy shorts where he sees blood.
Jesus Christ.
Something splashes in the water and garners the attention of Walter, who then points his flashlight in the direction of the noise. A crawler drifts over the rapids and into the wider area.
Go away. Leave me alone.
Monitoring the pebble-strewn shoreline, Walter gathers large rocks. Patiently, he awaits the return of his enemy. 20 feet away and to the right, a dark shape coalesces beneath the surface. The lanky fellow readies a primitive missile for his foe. 2 large pincers emerge from the water. Following these are a squat, purplish-black body and a hairless humanoid head. This creature is Ruby. Paralyzed by a flood of mixed emotions, Walter gapes at the thing that he once loved.
Ruby.
Black, insectile eyes stare inscrutably at 2 hazel ones that are filled with tears. For a few uncertain seconds, this eerie gaze holds. Pebbles rattle as the creature approaches the lanky fellow. 2 of its 4 hind legs are shattered from the earlier confrontation in the tunnel, and it moves poorly.
Ruby.
It is unclear to Walter whether or not this crawling thing is intelligent.
Don't come me.
Ruby raises her pincers and rushes forward to attack. Pebbles rattle as Walter hurls a rock. The stone smacks the creature's carapace. Chitin cracks, and the thing pauses. A second rock smacks Ruby's right pincer, which cracks.
Get away from
Ruby scrambles forward. The rock smacks her face and drives her to the ground. Blood flows from the deep gash in her forehead. Walter picks up a fourth stone. Tears flow down his cheeks.
Leave me alone.
Insectile eyes gauge those of its human enemy. Pebbles rattle as the defeated creature drags itself back to the water. Gray beetles flow out of the cracked carapace and try to knit the open wounds. Walter watches as the thing that was Ruby submerges itself in the water and disappears. Relief combats the sadness that fills the young man. At present, he turns from the dark water and shines the flashlight on the far wall. There stands a narrow tunnel. Pebbles rattle as he limps forward. Dripping wet, Walter follows the beam of his flashlight into the narrow tunnel. His shoulders and elbows scuff the walls as he proceeds. Fatigue, blood loss, and injury make his strides uneven. The flashlight flickers once, but remains on. Scratched bloody by his confined progress and barely conscious, the lanky fellow drops to his knees and leans against the wall. His thumb clicks off the flashlight, and darkness claims everything. In pure darkness, Walter coughs himself awake. There is a click as he turns on his flashlight, the bulb of which is now very dim. His face and body are covered with dried blood. Wearily, the lanky fellow rises to his feet and continues. Ahead of him lies a fork in the tunnel. His eyes fix upon the middle path as his shoulders scuff the walls. The dim flashlight flickers, flashes, and goes dark. Darkness is everything. A dim light appears in the distance. A thickly bearded and absolutely filthy Walter crawls into the low passageway where decades earlier Gregory Gleichman sneaked at night with his mother's jewelry. Pine needles, twigs, and other dry vegetation crackle underneath the lanky fellow's bloodied hands, knees, and feet. Ahead of him shines a circle of pale moonlight. Too weary, sad, and abused to feel any joy, the skeletal survivor crawls toward the opening. A few stones roll from the pile as Walter crawls out of the labyrinthine cavern and into the night. His raw limbs carry him to a tree, where he then collapses. Hours have passed. The lanky fellow strides through the thick forest. Car lights flash as a vehicle passes on a very distant road. Wearily, he trudges forward. Wood scrapes the pavement as Walter drags a fallen log onto the street. This obstruction blocks off both lanes. Gasping from his exertion, the lanky fellow sits by the side of the road and waits. His eyelids grow heavy. A honking horn startles Walter awake. Then he raises his bleary gaze to the red semi-trailer truck that is currently stopped a few yards from the log. Walter rises and stumbles toward the vehicle, wherein a bearded driver grimaces.
What the hell happened to you?
I broke up with my girlfriend.
The man in the truck wisely nods his head.
They're all hellcats when you tell them goodbye. Even the ones that seemed sort of regular.
The lanky fellow steps into the glaring headlights and grabs one end of the log.
He'll give me a lift to the hospital?
After I put down some newspaper.
Thanks.
Walter drags the log, which scrapes upon the pavement, as the bearded driver opens a crumpled newspaper and sees something of note.
Hey.
Pausing, the lanky fellow looks at the driver.
Have you been following the playoffs?
Two days have passed. Bandaged, shaved, washed, dressed in turquoise pajamas and healing, Walter stares up from his metal-railed bed to the overhead fluorescent bulbs, which buzz as they emit a greenish-white light. Two intravenous drips are attached to his left arm. Nearby stands a small table that has a clock, a glass of water, and a telephone. The lanky fellow currently turns an idea and makes a decision. His right hand claims the receiver and dials a familiar number. Sitting up, he presses the phone to his ear and listens.
Leave a message!
Hey, guys. Guess you're not back from the camping trip yet. Hope you're having a good time. Remember to hang your packs this time. Really wanted to go. But I'm dealing with some heavy stuff right now. I got injured and broke up with Ruby. But I'm starting to feel a little better now. Let's do something when I get back. Okay, camping or something else. Adios.
With a tremulous hand, Walter hangs up the phone. His eyes sparkle with unshed tears as he looks through the window at the setting sun. It is nearly sunrise. Walter lies asleep in his metal-railed bed. The sheets and blanket that are twisted about his limbs evince another restless night. Startled by his subconscious, the lanky fellow awakens from a nightmare and looks around the room. Dark blue light glows outside of the window and gives the space a monochromatic, almost unreal quality. A sharp pain causes him to flinch. His right hand reaches into his mouth and touches something that makes him wince. Apprehensions crowd his thoughts. Walter pulls the entwined sheets from his legs, sets his bare feet upon the linoleum, and grabs the stand from which depend the two intravenous bags. Limping, he rolls the fluids toward a door on the far wall. Walter flips a switch, and an overhead light illuminates the small turquoise bathroom. His free hand shuts the door, and he rolls the stand past the toilet to the sink. The lanky fellow looks at his aged and weary face in the mirror. Unhappy speculations do not better his demeanor. Walter opens his mouth and lifts up his tongue. In the flesh below is a purplish-black growth that is the size of a peanut. Sadness is quickly replaced by a burning anger. With his right hand, he tears the intravenous needles out of his left arm and knocks over the stand, which clanks against the wall. Furious, the lanky fellow opens the door. His breath catches in his throat. Upon the hospital bed lies a peeled, gray gourd. The far door shuts. Standing in front of this exit are the robed one, the fruit bearer, and the nude albino. Each man holds a long knife, and a strangled nurse lies at their feet. The tips of their blades point at the catalytic gourd that lies upon the mattress.
No.
Walter scrambles toward the window and grabs the latch. Blood drains from his face when he sees what looms outside beyond the glass. Silhouetted against the blue haze of the early morning sky is a tall crustacean that has several disproportionately long forelimbs that terminate with barbed pincers and dozens of violet eyes upon its carapace. Steam rises from numerous orifices all along the shadow-enshrouded body of this massive entity, the First Father. Walter turns from this behemoth and eyes the albinos who are currently closing in.
Stop.
The lanky fella picks up the gourd.
I'll eat it.
The robed one raises his pale hand and his peers halt. Eyes blazing with hate, Walter turns around and hurls the gourd at his own reflection and the beast that looms outside. The albinos rush the lanky fella. Walter darts toward the broken window, the pane of which holds innumerable shards of glass. Teeth gritted, he slams his arms onto the jagged array and rakes his wrists back and forth. Gore flows from opened veins. The lanky fellow turns to the albinos, shows them his shredded wrists, and then drops to his knees.
I'm still me.
Dying, Walter falls forward and smacks his face against the cold blue linoleum. Blood pools.
You've been listening to The Narrow Caves, written by S. Craig Zahler, directed by Keith Reynolds, produced by Dallas Saunier and Keith Reynolds, executive producers Will Evans and Abby Kopf, featuring Wyatt Russell, Lily Simmons, Vincent D'Onofrio, and Will Patton as the narrator. Co-starring Hunter Hargrave, Lindsey Graham, Ann Beyer, Sarah Ragsdale, Mike Schrader, Ian Ferguson, Rico Fajardo, Jeannie Tirado, Eric Vail, Jeffrey Schmidt, Aaliyah Tavakolian, John Michael Tatum, Christopher Savitt, and Brandon Potter. Sound design, Foley, and sound mix by Lindsey Graham. Original score by Binary Reptile. Cinestate wishes to thank Catherine Harper, Lucas Buckles, Jessica Safavimer, Aaron Rambo, Ilana Darsky, Julian Twan, Darren Bogosian, Kate Linden, Brittany Balbo, Steve Feldberg, Beat Street Productions, Echo Mountain Recording, Shannon Saunier, Meriwether Evans, and Chris Norvett. Visit cinestate.com for more.
Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your favorite shows. Follow Fangoria on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Fangoria.